It's Wednesday, time for another edition of the Viking Voices show from Jefferson College. And tune in later, because remember, we will have the Jefferson College Viking volleyball game against Missouri State West Plains. And obviously, with the game coming up at 5:30, that's the theme that we want, is the volleyball. And we're joined by a very special guest this week, NJCAA Hall of Famer and longtime Jefferson College volleyball coach, as well as the athletic director, Joe Allen Stringer. And Ms. Stringer, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and just how often do you get a chance to come back here and kind of check it out?
Well, I'm still teaching a few classes, so I'm coming on campus periodically. But I also try to follow the sports and try to come as much as I can. Obviously, I don't want to live here. I'm retired, so.
You got to live the free life, right? You committed so much time out here. So.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in the gym.
Yeah, and speaking of your time in the gym, for a person like me, I'm new to the area a little bit, and maybe others out there that may not be so familiar with it as well. Just kind of take us a little bit through the beginning of your career and kind of how you got this started here in the Jefferson College.
Oh, wow. Well, I was a student here at Jefferson College. I graduated from high school in 68 from DeSoto, so I'm a local, long-time Jefferson County person. And I came to Jefferson as a student, and there was no sports for females to play. And so I kind of begged every time I could. In fact, the gym was my freshman year, we were in the student center. That was the gym. And this opened up my sophomore year, this building, and I think I probably was the first person in the building. But there wasn't any volleyball, there wasn't any sports for women, and I used to bug Harold Edding, who was the athletic director, longtime athletic director, for a volleyball program. And he said they just weren't ready to start women's athletics yet. So down the road a few years, heard through the grapevine that they were going to start a volleyball program, so I came out to talk to him about it, and I can remember he said, well, I didn't give you one to play on. I guess I could give you one to coach.
So, yeah, fairly enough.
So it was kind of cool because I could start the program, and indicated that there wasn't anybody before me, so I could kind of build it the way I wanted to. And I was so appreciative of having an opportunity for young girls to play and to do something that I couldn't do, that I kind of threw my heart and soul into it and tried to make it as good off. A positive experience as I possibly could. So,
well, I think you very much succeeded in that, just looking at your accolades going on. I mean, we could talk for far more than the show allows for some of those accolades. But you spent 33 years here as head coach. You amassed over 1,200 wins, 1,232 to be exact, just 388 losses. You almost won 1,000 more games than you lost.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy to think about.
We're very fortunate. We were successful early. And so that, success breeds success, and that allows you to recruit. And so that allowed me to be able to attract very talented young athletes and many, many, many from this area. And so it's fun. It was fun to do. It was a very positive experience, a very big part of my life.
I know the foundation, like you just mentioned, came from, girls and players from this area, from kind of the county, and I'm sure a little bit outside as well. But you also kind of found, at least under my understanding, that you had a lot of success overseas as well, in terms of Europe and even Brazil, I was told as well. So how did that kind of come about? How do you implant and get that kind of pipeline of recruiting over there?
Well, my first recruit came from actually a four-year coach that tried to recruit a player that wasn't ready for his program yet, and he asked me if I could would allow her to come and play at Jefferson and then transfer. And so, and then once that happened and she was successful and we were successful, then it attracted more and more. Almost all of my internationals players came either from players who had played for me and recommended our program, or from four-year coaches that wanted a place to put their players that they felt like would get a good background and good academic training. And would a lot of them, they were very successful academically, but their English skills weren't very strong. And so we were in a position to nurture that, and so they were able to come and play and then transfer on to four-year schools. And what it did was, when I was here at Jefferson, we were so excited when two kids from Hawaii came because there was no one. Everyone else was just like us. You know, they were from Jefferson County, very little diversity. And I have been enriched, and I think the students, the other athletes and students are enriched by seeing or having an opportunity to get to know cultures and other parts of the country and other parts of the world. And so I always felt like adding not a whole program of international students, but certainly adding students from other parts of the world enriched our program and enriched the lives of the students who played with them in all kinds of ways. Not just the cultural differences, but many times the international players that we attracted were at a high level because they were being recruited by Division I programs. And so the only thing was missing usually was their academic skills. So we were able to get athletes that we wouldn't have normally gotten. And they played at a higher level, so they were able to, that helped the people that they played with to raise their level of play. So it was kind of a win-win in a lot of ways for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. In just so many ways, like you mentioned, in terms of the culture and just everybody having that opportunity to learn and things of that nature for them, to give them an opportunity here in the States as well. All very cool stuff. When did that really kind of kickstart? When did that really get going?
Oh, my. That might go too far back. Probably 15 of the years before I quit coaching, maybe the last 15 years of that. I'm just guessing. there's been so many that I was just referring to one of my international athletes that Bob and I just traveled out to Washington to see her. She had a new baby and she just got her internship done with her doctor. She's a doctor, a physician, and it's going to start her residency at a hospital. And so that was really cool to go out and see her and see the success that she's made. So.
Absolutely. And of course, another very successful is a coach here now, and that's Coach Ida Steiger. Just kind of take me back to the beginning of that relationship, because it's clearly formed into a really strong bond between you two.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ida came, two of her teammates that had played with her. In Lithuania, the club system is a little different, and young people, if they're good enough, can play, you know, at a high level. And Ida got to play with a lot of women and a lot of the national team for a little while. And so when she was real young, and so Roberta and Gedra, they were from Lithuania, and they had told me about Ida. And so Ida came, and she probably, we've been so fortunate with GED athletes. I probably had as good an athlete as she is, but I don't think I've ever had anybody that was any more competitive than Ida was. And so she played for me, was an All-American. And then when she got ready to go, she came in and talked to me, and she said she was being recruited by all over the country by a lot of people. And she came into me and said, Coach, I don't want to go very far. She said, I want to be able to have you around so that if I need something, you and Bob, you know, you can help me. And so I said, well, let's start looking at closer schools and closer proximity. And so we looked at Illinois. And then just at that time, when she was getting kind of discouraged about finding the right place, St. Louis U hired Ann Cordes, and it completely kind of changed their program because Ann was a top-notch coach. And when I heard that she had been hired, I called Ann and told her about Ida, and she said, well, bring her up here. And so I did, and it worked. And so Ida became one of Ann's first players, and she ended up being their first All-American for St. Louis U.
And really, first one.
Yeah, and it was exciting. It's kind of cool to go watch her play. I always liked watching my former players play at other places, and it was kind of fun to go watch her play because she just did so well, and she raised the level of their program. So that was really a lot of fun. I got a chance to go to a couple of different schools and watch her play. And so, but when she finished at SLU, she decided she wanted to stay in the States and finish her master's degree, and so she started her program at Missouri Baptist. And so I asked her if she would come back and be my assistant. I had lost my assistant at that time, and so it worked out perfectly that she could work on her master's degree and be my assistant coach. And so she did that, and then towards the latter part of her of the second year of her her master's program, I was trying to be athletic director full-time teacher and full-time coach, and it was just a little too much. And so I decided that probably the best thing I could do is probably try to narrow it down to one. And so I tried to mentor as taking over a program. I felt like it would be in really good hands. And her having played at the two-year college, she was vested and really felt like there were a lot of merits to her having come here first. And so it would be easy for her to sell the program, and I felt like it would continue to be successful. And I knew she would be dedicated to the girls on the program, which was the most important thing to me.
Yeah, and it looks like you made a good decision because the teams have been very, very good, and she's been a good coach. One thing that kind of stood out to me a little bit is you talked about her fiery competitiveness and how intense she was on the court as a player. Interested to see kind of how you see those resemblances from her as a coach or as a player to now as she is a coach. You think she's kind of tempered down a little bit, or you think she still brings that same competitive edge?
I think she's still competitive, but I think she's learned to temper it. I think she's a little less volatile now that she's gotten a little maturity and had a couple kids. But, certainly the intensity is there, and she's very, like I said, she expects the kids to be competitive. And I know she's constantly telling them that, you know, it's not about the wins and losses, and it never is. The wins come with, putting the effort in. And I think that, that's something that she has promoted. And I think the other thing that my biggest goal, again, wasn't so much the wins and stuff. I wanted the kids to have real positive volleyball experiences, but I also wanted them to be able, should they choose to go on. And so my goal was always 100% on my team, and we were able to achieve that most of the time, for kids to finish their degree and to go and have an opportunity to play volleyball should they want to. Now, there were kids that wanted to go into some study that didn't allow to play volleyball. Some never intended to play longer than 2 years, wanted to go, but almost all, I wanted them to all have the opportunity should they choose. And some didn't think they were going to go on and did, and some thought they were going to play 4 years and didn't, but they all had the opportunity. And I think that's something she bought into when she came, and she does everything she can. In fact, I always felt like I worked just as hard on getting players out of here as I did getting them in, and that takes some effort because you have to market them and all kinds of things. So
I think that's really cool, just that dedication, from the two-year coaches and things of that nature, because that is the ultimate goal, is you want them to go on and you want them to have the chance to play more volleyball, but more importantly, arguably as well, get that four-year degree, get the bachelor's degree and things of that nature, and just kind of be successful adults, kind of help them grow up.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in the community college system. I think there's so many things. Like I said, I came myself. I think academically, I have worked with this faculty, and it is outstanding. And I felt like the instructors I had here were every bit as good as the instructors I had when I went on, both through my bachelor's and my master's degree program. But I also think that we have the time to spend with, because we have the students and stuff like that. We have time to spend. And I think that we have an opportunity here to get to know the students a little better, too. And so I think the first 2 years of their college career, especially when they're trying to juggle athletics and academics and being away from home many times and all the stuff that comes along with going to college, our success rate stayed pretty high. And I think it's because of the nurturing and the way we approached. And I always felt like this college in particular always puts a lot of emphasis on the student experience. And I think it still does that. And I'm really happy that, the things like even adding Jason. I mean, we are the envy of the country with somebody like Jason Gardner, because we have somebody that's specifically dedicated to making sure that those kids are academically successful. And there are other programs, but I don't know another community college. There probably is, because we've had calls, people asking us about him. But I think the actual position itself, but I just think that there's a lot of things that they do here to support the athletes and the students in general. In fact, I think they've copied the success program for the athletes, and it's now student body completely for over the whole student body.
Yeah, all the way around for even the right. non-athletes as well. And right. there's a lot to learn from that because you're right. It really is. College, you know, a lot of people, especially with athletes, you know, people kind of overlook that they are students
Absolutely.
First. And that's one thing that kind of gets overlooked, especially when you get up to the higher levels as well. They're looked at more as yeah. entertainment versus yes. as persons trying to get that job in. So it is really important to get that done.
Well, and I've always, you know, and always people have always asked me about coaching, and I said, and I've always said that a lot of people get into coaching because they love the sport. The sport is secondary to loving the kids. You know, like you have to like kids and you have to be willing to help them learn. That has to be because you can learn about a sport, the X's and O's about a sport, but you have to understand how students learn, how they succeed. You know, you have to know about them and have to be interested in them as individuals, or you cannot be successful as a coach.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to step aside for a short time out. When we come back, though, don't worry. We got plenty more with Jefferson College Hall of Famer and NJCAA Hall of Famer, Miss Joellen Stringer, coming up next year on 1400 KJFF. Back at Jefferson College, where we're joined by a special guest. Joellen Stringer is here with us here at Jefferson College as we get set to broadcast the Jefferson College Vikings as they host the Missouri State West Plains Grizzlies in a matchup of two schools ranked in the top 12 in NJCAA Division I volleyball at the moment. And Ms. Stringer, interested to kind of see, I noticed, you know, looking at the accolades, obviously we talked about it, you have so many, but one in particular that stands out, you're in the inaugural class in the Hall of Fame of the NJCAA. So just kind of talk about that honor and experience, and I imagine that was quite a thrill.
Yes, well, volleyball grew slowly. There were, you know, there were Hall of Fames and all kinds of sports, but volleyball was such a young sport at the collegiate level and at the NJCAA level that, like I said, I kind of grew with it. And the they finally at one point decided to have a Hall of Fame, and I was fortunate enough to be part of that first class. So it was, you know, it was certainly an honor. It always is when you're recognized by your peers. It's certainly an honor.
When you just had all that success when you were here, and obviously you talked about having the opportunity to kind of build it up and giving yourself a chance to kind of really work through what you wanted to see, your vision, when you started, did you ever imagine that you'd be as successful as you were?
I don't know that I thought about it. I was always expected to do what I wanted to do. I don't know why. I just always expected. But with coaching, it's like the next game is so immediate. It's so different than other things because, like, you work 4 years to get a degree and blah, 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 but you work for the next game. I mean, you work for goals in the end of season, but there's always that next game, that next practice. Everything's more immediate. And so my goal was always, you know, to get them ready to play the next game. And I think, too, when you keep your number one goal as student success with academic and athletic, you know, making sure they have the wins help them transfer, because the higher we place, the more recruiting, the more people that looked at our players. And then once we established ourselves, they automatically looked at us. So it wasn't quite as much pressure. Once we became one of the top teams in the country, then people automatically looked at us. The other thing is I was always very honest about the ability of my players, because I felt like I wasn't just needing to get that one player placed. I needed to place players all up and down the row. So I always felt like it was important for me to be honest with the recruiters in the four-year schools. And secondly, the goal was to train them so they could move on. And so with those goals, I think the success came as a result of trying to reach those goals. But yes, I definitely wanted to win.
Yeah, absolutely. The competitive nature in you, you know, clearly the persistence back when you were in college trying to get that women's sport started and everything, then to finally have it, I imagine it was all about that fire and desire. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove why we should have had this in the first place.
Well, it's always really important. I always felt like it was important to. So many times people are so caught up in the end result that they forget to enjoy the process. And so I always try to keep them in the moment, like that point that, you know, to keep them to enjoy the game they're playing, you know, because it's competition and that's what they all do it for. So I think that helps too when you can keep them in the moment.
Coach, I'm curious, in your opinion, having been a lifer in volleyball and things of that nature, where have you seen the game change from when you first kind of got introduced to it and see it to where it is now?
Oh, my. We were laughing about that. I said, you know, when I was in high school, when I was in junior high, we played eight on a team, and we got two hits, And then when I got in high school, we could set to ourselves and hit. So,
no,
I've seen the game
set to yourself and
change
hit.
A lot. But even in coaching, I think, I mean, we went from timed games to 30-point games to 15 to, you know, the libero. I mean, there's so many changes, especially in the latter part. It didn't change that much for a while. But it seemed like the last 5 years of my coaching was changing a lot. And I laughed because I said, here I've been coaching for 30-some-odd years, and I don't know when to call timeout. Because they changed the points in the scoring system. And I mean, you used to always know when to call timeout. But with the point system being different, when they went to 30 and then 15, you didn't know when. When was that time that was the ideal time to call timeout? And so it was frustrating. It was good because I think the changes were good for the game. But some of the things that you gained, the experience you gained, you lost. You know, some of the advantages of being an older coach with lots of years of experience, you lost because the people you were coaching against now played the game, and they played that system, so they understood it, you know. So it was interesting, but oh my, yeah, a lot of changes.
Do you like where it's at now?
I do. It's a good game to watch. I didn't like it when it went to longer games. It's still different with it being the best of five. It still is so different than other sports. But yeah, I like the game now. I think it's a good game.
Yeah, and the best of five, you know, at least from the spectator standpoint, it gets kind of thrilling, you know, and really intense in that last set. And, you know, you can really feel kind of that tension arising as well.
It's just hard to predict the amount of time it takes. And a lot of times when spectators, you know, like they can kind of have a general sense of how long it's going to take. Of course, the last two or three minutes of a football game can take an hour.
So. Yeah, at basketball as well, you know, so. There's lots of things like that. What about the game on a national level, just where it's seen in terms of popularity and the amount of people that are playing it? I mean, you have, you know, obviously women play it as well, but there are men in volleyball all over the place that are playing it as well. So I feel like, out of my guess, if I were to guess, I feel like the growth has been pretty, pretty big.
It has. And you can tell because the success of our national team has grown with it as
Christy
well.
Christy May and them.
And the men playing, I think you gain spectators and respect for the game itself, too, and I think that also helps. And I think beach volleyball helped. It's a lot of people will watch it and don't watch. So the game is basically the same game, just it's more or less a two-person. But, yeah, it's grown. I think around here in Jefferson County, one of the hardest things that happened was when they added softball as a sport, rather than put it in the spring, our state chose to put it in the fall. And I really am not sure why that is. I don't know whether the track people were such good lobbyists that they didn't want it. But I felt like putting two team sports that were a similar type of athlete really didn't help because young women can start playing softball at a younger age than they can volleyball just because of the nature of the sport. And so sometimes the softball programs will draw some of the kids that would have played volleyball.
Yeah, I do think that's a little odd. I would like to go look at how many states do it that way. I know, you know, I'm from the state of Washington, and in the state of Washington, softball is a spring sport. It's not played in the fall.
Right.
So that is interesting kind of how that worked out. But we're going to step aside one last time. We come back. We'll have a short segment. We'll preview tonight's game against Missouri State West Plains. That's right here on 1400 KJFF. Welcome back to 1400 KJFF. Will Cheshire joined with or by a special guest, of course. That's Jefferson College Hall of Famer Joe Ellen Stringer. And why don't we focus to tonight's game? You know, we've talked a lot about the history and everything, but curious to kind of get your thoughts. Have you had the opportunity to see the team much this year?
The Jefferson's team, yeah. I've watched them play a lot of home games, and they're a very talented group of young ladies. They're exciting to watch. I was telling Ida the other day, they're one of the most fun teams to watch I've seen Jefferson have in a while, because they really work hard out there, and there's not a superstar, but there's a lot of kids that can do a lot of things, and like I said, they work really hard out there, and they're fun to watch.
Yeah. I'm curious, Missouri West Plains, when did they kind of really come on? Because recently they've had a lot of success. So was that while you were still coaching? Is that when they kind of started to really kind of get it into gear?
Yes. They started their program, I don't remember how many years ago, but yeah. And they only have two sports. They have men's basketball and women's volleyball. And so they kind of poured everything into that. So they're chock full of scholarships and money to travel in. So they've been our nemesis for a long time. They were very competitive against us. In fact, they were the first team to beat us in regional play in a long, long time.
Okay.
And so they have, you know, they have a full-time head coach, a full-time assistant. They have everything that they need to be successful, you know, at this level, more than most.
Yeah.
But they are they are consistently very competitive.
So certainly a top rival.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Coach, you mentioned that you've seen a good amount of the home games and things of that nature. You talked about the excitement of the team and how that kind of really gets you going. But what about their fundamentals, their style of play and things of that nature? What have you kind of seen from them this season?
Well, I think the biggest thing they have is balance. Their defense is strong. Their serving is strong. Blocking is pretty good, too. They have a lot of hitters. I noticed they don't have a really weak rotation. That's so what we always challenge you as a coach, as a weak rotation. And they have depth. They have their whole team is pretty talented. So it's, if somebody is having a rough night, there's somebody there that they can fill that role. So, I think they work hard to get their points. And I think that, like I said, they're fun to watch. So.
What do you think that they're going to have to do tonight in order to finally get that victory this year over Missouri State West Plains? They lost, I think, the first two matches, but it's been a steady growth. That first match, they got swept. Of course, that last match, I was talking with Coach Steiger about it, and she mentioned that in that third set, they really kind of turned it on, started focusing more on themselves, and they pushed it to that fourth set, almost the fifth game. So what do you think they need to do to kind of get over the hump?
Well, I think unforced errors are always a challenge for any team. And when you play someone that that is ranked ahead of you or something like that, then sometimes the thoughts of who you're playing interferes, even though you don't want it to and you don't think it should, rather than playing the game. And so sometimes that anticipation and all that interferes with the game. And I think if they really just can concentrate on playing the game itself, you know, and responding, they certainly, if they have a good game, they very well could take West Plains this game.
Hey, Coach Stringer, I just want to say thank you very, very much for coming on and joining us. It was a special privilege.
Thank you.
That is Hall of Famer Coach Joe Ellen Stringer here of Jefferson College joining us here on this edition of Viking Voices. Be sure to tune in. We're going to take a break. Madeline Gilbert will have your news coming up, but just crossing the 5 o'clock hour, and then we will throw it back out here to Jefferson College, where the 12th-ranked Vikings will play host to the 5th-ranked MSU West Plains Grizzlies. That match, first serve, getting set for 5:30 p.m. So that's all coming up right here on 1400 KJFF. If you're going away from the car or going inside and away from the radio, don't worry. You can listen to it online as well at mymoinfo.com, or give us a follow on Twitter at KJFSports as well, and you can follow along that way. We'll be tuned live back here from Jefferson College in about 25 minutes. Until then, Madeline Gilbert will have your newscast here coming up in 10 minutes.